Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 7 entitled Lord Chaitanya in Five Features, Text 92. Nacho Ghao Bhakta Sange Kata Sankirtana Krishna Nama Upadeshi Tara Sarva Jhana. Translation. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Purport. It is another ambition of the spiritual master to see his disciples not only chant, dance, and follow the regulative principles, but also preach the Sankirtan movement to others in order to deliver them. For the Krishna conscious movement is based on the principle that one should become as perfect as possible in devotional service oneself, and also preach the cult for others' benefit. There are two classes of unalloyed devotees, namely the Goshtiyanandis and the Bhajanandis. Bhajanandi refers to one who is satisfied to cultivate devotional service for himself. And Goshtiyanandi is one who is not satisfied simply to become perfect himself, but wants to see others also take advantage of the holy name of the Lord and advance in spiritual life. The outstanding example is Prahlad Maharaj. When he was offered a benediction by Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, quote, "My dear Lord, I have no problems and want no benediction from you because I am quite satisfied to chant your holy name. This is sufficient for me because whenever I chant, I immediately merge in an ocean of transcendental bliss. I only lament to see others bereft of your love. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification, with no attachment for love of Godhead. I am simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya." Unquote. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya, quote, "A person who has attracted the attention of the spiritual master by his sincere service likes to dance and chant with similarly developed Krishna-conscious devotees. The spiritual master authorizes such a devotee to deliver fallen souls in all parts of the world. Those who are not advanced prefer to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place." Unquote. Such activities constitute, in the language of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a type of cheating process in the sense that they imitate the activities of exalted personalities like Srila Haridas Thakur. One should not attempt to imitate such exalted devotees. Rather, everyone should endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all parts of the world and thus become successful in spiritual life. One who is not very expert in preaching may chant in a secluded place, avoiding bad association. But for one who is actually advanced, preaching and meeting people who are not engaged in devotional service are not disadvantages. A devotee gives the non-devotees his association, but is not affected by their misbehavior. Thus, by the activities of a pure devotee, even those who are bereft of love of God get a chance to become devotees of the Lord one day. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advises that one discuss the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with Naitat Sama Charej Jhatu Manash Api Hi Anishvara 10:33:30, as well as the following verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:2:255. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yataham Upayunjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. One should not imitate the activities of great personalities. One should be detached from material enjoyment and should accept everything in connection with Krishna's service. Translation again. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam. For by this process, you will be able to deliver all fallen conditioned souls. Om Agyan Tmadandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chaksunimiritam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shrapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Shra Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadar Har Shri Vasari Dohar Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram. So this very beautiful and often quoted verse by the members of our society, by all Gaudiya Vaishnavas actually, stresses the importance of chanting Hare Krishna both for oneself and for others as well, including those who are not devotees. Chanting Hare Krishna specifically, although we chant many mantras, this is Maha Mantra, the great chant for deliverance. This is our principal activity. It's not simply one of the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. Rules means the pros, and regulation means the no's. Rules means the positive things we do. Chanting, dancing, feasting, going to the Dham, going on Parikrama, etc. Regulation means the don'ts. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, gambling, ad infinitum. But chanting Hare Krishna is not just one of the rules that we follow. It's actually the life and soul of every devotee. A devotee looks forward to those moments of the day when they can pour their heart out to the Lord through chanting the holy names. Either through chanting japa, or coming to the temple and performing kirtan in front of the deities, or as we will do in a few minutes, going out on the street and performing nam kirtan. Devotee looks forward to these things. When he or she wakes up, immediately the mind is drawn, just like a bee is automatically drawn to the honey of a flower. A devotee, immediately upon waking in the morning, is thinking, let me get finished with my bath so I can go to the kirtan and dance in ecstasy, and sit down and pour out my heart to the Supreme Lord through chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We see this in a beautiful song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Nam Kirtan. He says, Amala Hari Nam Amiya Vilasha. He says, the pure holy names of Krishna, which are full of sweet nectar, are my very life and soul. So every devotee, irregardless of his or her position, their main activity is chanting. It's not something that we do when we finish everything else. We do everything else after we finish chanting Hare Krishna. And in between we chant, and afterwards we chant as well. We're always chanting. Every Vaishnava is chanting. I was looking at the DVDs that Yadavara produced, that wonderful series of Śrīla Prabhupāda and the times of Śrīla Prabhupāda in the Western countries. And I was looking at 10 and 11, and one thing stuck out through all those nectarian episodes. Wherever Prabhupāda was, he seemed to have his hand in his bead bag. At one point, the speaker system in my computer broke. But I was so infatuated with what I was seeing. It was like history unfolding. I just watched, and they went through a few episodes, no sound, but what I noted is Prabhupada was always had his hand in his feedback. Even when he was preaching, sometimes he was. Just stressed it more, made a deeper impression on me. Of course, there's different types of chanters. In this verse, Prabhupada notes that for practical purposes, there are two types of Vaishnavas. There's the Bhajananandi, and there's the Goshtananandi. They're similar in that they both are very much attached to chanting, but they're different in that one chants for himself, and the other chants for the benefit of others. Now, we offer our respects to both, because they're both chanters of the Holy Name. When we offer the prayer in the morning, Vancha kalpa tudubhyascha kripa sindhu bhe bacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavibhya, we're not excluding any Vaishnavas. No. We're not thinking, well, except him. No, because we recognize anyone who's made that quantum leap from material life to give up sinful activities and decorate their tongue with the holy names of God, that soul's special. He may have come into the movement dragging some of the dirt, but we have faith in the holy name that material contamination will disappear in due course of time. Just like we come to the temple, we leave our shoes at the door. We don't bring the dirt in. So really, we should leave our material desires at the door when we enter into the movement of Krishna consciousness, but that's not so easy as leaving your shoes. But we have faith. Just by chanting the holy names, any and every Vaishnava, that contamination will be washed away in due course. So therefore we offer obeisances to every devotee. A Bhajananandi or a Goshtananandi. A perfect example of a Bhajananandi is Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Parambujaya Te Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who is renunciation personified. He's always merged in the feeling of separation and intense love of Krishna. This is Bhajananandi. He's setting a very good example for us. Because before we go out and preach, we have to imbibe this mood of renunciation in the sense that we give up our attraction for the material world and we awaken our affection for Krishna. You can't give something you don't have. If you're attracted to this material energy and you try to go out and preach, your preaching will be very ineffective. This material world is Maya and all these things, you should give up your attachment. But if you're attached, how effective your words will be. Just like one time there was a mother, her little son had an addiction to eating sweets more than was enough. And he got some bad teeth. So she took him to the dentist and she said, "Can you look at his teeth? Not much you can do. Could you just tell him to stop eating so many sweets?" So the dentist said, "Okay, come back in 7 days and I'll tell him." Mother was a little confused. "Come back in 7 days." "Yeah, come back in 7 days and I'll tell him." "All right." So 7 days passed. She brought her son back to the dentist and she said, "Well, could you instruct him not to eat so many sweets?" And the dentist said, "Little boy, don't eat too many sweets because they'll rot your teeth. You understand?" And the little boy went, "Yes, doctor. Yes, yes, yes." And the mother said, "Why did I have to wait a week for that?" The dentist said, "Well, I was also addicted to eating sweets 7 days ago. And I stopped. So now I can tell him with effectiveness." And it worked. So the example of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji is essential. Sometimes devotees question, "We're all Gaudiyas, we're preachers. What about Gaura Kishore Das Babaji? He just lived under a boat in one photo and chanted all day. He wasn't a preacher." Well, he instilled the spirit of preaching in Srila Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur. One can do nothing without the mercy of Guru. So according to the Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur, all his success in his preaching, he credits to his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada has stated that if the opportunity arises of Bhajanandi, he'll preach. There's a story that Srila Gokrishna Das Babaji, one time seeing the fallen condition of Navadvip, which is actually an eternal abode, but sometimes the dham becomes covered with the thin film of maya, and that takes the form of sometimes very unqualified people coming and living in the dham for ulterior motives. People come to the dham to make money and build a lot of houses and construction, and pretty soon it doesn't even look like it used to be. Sometimes yogis and mystics and gyanis, they also come to a holy dham like Vrindavan or Mayapur, and sometimes their numbers increase, even to the point where you hardly hear the name of Krishna. That happened before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The holy dham had been so covered, it was all logic and reasoning and yoga and tantra. Mahaprabhu had to revive the original nature of Navadvip Dham, was one of his yoga pits. And during the time of Gorkhasura Das Babaji also, it became covered. So seeing the fallen condition of the town, the dham, he decided to preach. He shaved his beard, cut his long hair, cut his fingernails, went into town and got a Shantipur Dhoti. Shantipur Dhoti. This very Pakka Dhoti. It has blue stripes, red stripes, yellow stripes. The gentlemen wear the Shantipur Dhoti. Nice cotton. In the beginning, when we first joined the movement, we were all wearing yellow dhotis, all the householders. We looked like canary birds. I remember even the Matajis were wearing yellow saris. That's just what we wore. And then the ladies turned to saffron somehow. I don't know what happened. But there were no stripes or particular features to it. But then when a few devotees went to India and they, shopped and they found Shantipur devotees. So the householders were coming back with these fine cloth with the pinstripe and the pinstripe and the double stripe. And this is gentleman dhoti. Gokrishnadas Babaji went into town. He bought a Shantipur dhoti and one sash. And he went into town and he began preaching the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who could be a better preacher? Who could be a better preacher? But nothing happened. The people were simply not interested. And Prabhupada has stated in his book, if the preaching is not favorable in one place, you have the right to go someplace else and preach. It's an exception to the rule, because we should go anywhere and everywhere without making distinctions. But sometimes you may find a place where people are really adverse, because really in the down and ignorance, and all right, shift a little bit and come back later. Don't give up on the place, but time, place, and circumstance. At that time, no one would listen to him. He preached for weeks, every day on the street corner. Sarva dharmam pritcha jamamikam saranam raja hum tam sava papi. Moses. Didn't sell one book. He gave up. And he put back on his torn loincloth and grew his hair out and just... every day, 18, 20 hours a day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam. But again, it's important because he set an example of what is a good sadaka. You cannot be a good preacher unless you're a good sadaka. Like Mahaprabhu glorified Srila Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. You are the spiritual master of the three worlds, because some people preach, but they don't set a nice example. Some people set a nice example as a devotee to their sadhana, but they don't preach. But because you set an exemplary example in your sadhana, how many rounds is he chanting every day? And you're a fearless preacher. He said, I say that you are the spiritual master of the three worlds. So we have so many examples. Good sadhana, an exemplary preaching. Actually, one time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the best devotee is the Bhajanandi who preaches. I heard that recently. I was thinking, I need to get that tattooed on my arm. if you read the article in BTG, I'm against tattoos, but I still love you, Tattoo Wallace. But if I ever got a tattoo, I thought that would be a cool one. The best devotee is the Bhajanananda who preaches. Let's see, another good example of a Bhajanananda who ended up preaching successfully is Narada Muni. Of course, we just think of Narada Muni as a eternal preacher. What did Prabhupada call him? A transcendental spaceman or something in the 1960s? But again, to become a good preacher, you have to be a good sadhaka. Just like our own Śrīla Prabhupāda, although he could have begun from day one, he set the example. And the title of the first book in the Prabhupāda Līlāmṛta is appropriate. A Lifetime in Preparation. Prabhupāda, in various ways, under the Lord's direction, went through heaven and hell, and everything in between, up until the moment that he came to America. He came to America when he was elderly. But it was a lifetime in preparation, and as a result, there was a Hare Krishna explosion. So Narada Muni also did his stint as a good, devout Bhajanananda in order to become the eternal transcendental spaceman that he is. It's described in the Narada Purana, the Skanda Purana, and the Padma Purana that when Narada Muni first heard that Lord Krishna had taken birth, or let us say, made his appearance in Vrindavan, he immediately came to Braja to have Lord Krishna's darshan, to see him. Darshan means to see. It's described in those three scriptures that he wandered throughout all the 12 forests of Vrindavan looking for Lord Shyam Sundar. After some time, he came to Bandiravan. He was taking a little break because he was really moving quickly. He had a very intense desire to see Lord Shyam Sundar. Took a little break under a tree. And it so happened that that famous parrot couple that always accompanies Krishna or Radha witnesses the pastimes and sometimes tells on them when they're flying around. Those two parrots, who of course are fully realized souls, Vaishnavas, they were engaged in a very animated discussion of Vedanta philosophy. Narada Muni was very impressed. He's a scholar. He's Naishtiki Brahmachari. He likes to hear these type of things, Vedanta, lots of philosophy. It's attracting like our Dravida Prabhu, Brahmachari. He could be happy just to sit all day long and memorize shlokas and repeat them and sing them and share them and in the meantime do his BBT work and his study. He's a transcendental bookworm. That's a good description of it. So Narada Muni, you know, these brahmacharis, their intelligence is not contaminated, it's very sharp. So Vedanta. He was just relishing this conversation, this discussion of the parrots. But at one point, these Brajbasis, these parrots, they began discussing how all the young girls in Vrindavan were running after one particularly handsome young man, one young boy. As soon as he heard that, he didn't let himself hear anymore. All these young girls are just running after this really charming little handsome boy. He covered his ears. He said to himself, "Hearing this gramya katha will break my brahmachari vows." And he wanted to forget what he heard. But his mind kept disturbing him. So he's saying, the only person who's going to resolve this situation is my Lord Shyam Sundar. Now I really need to see him. He became even more intent in finding the Lord. He was searching for Krishna over a hill, over a dale, through the dusty trail, all throughout Vrindavan. He was thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? In essence, he imbibed the mood of the six Goswamis. Radhe Bhajadevike Chalite Lalite Hey Nanda Sutta Kata Nanda Suno Kata. O beloved son of Maharaj Nanda, where are you? Are you just at Govardhan, or you at Vamsivat, Radhakund? Are you here, there, where? This is the mood he develop. This, we're also trying to develop that mood. We're practicing it without realization. That's the difference between a neophyte devotee and an advanced devotee. We're doing the same things, but advanced devotees do those things with full realization, with full Krishna consciousness, with love. We're like the green mango, and eventually it will become the ripe mango if we just stick to the process. So there's an example, Narada Muni. He was wandering that mood, wanting to meet the Lord, and it wasn't happening, so he said, I'll sit tight. Prabhupada's phrase, sit tight. What do you mean, tight? No, sit down tight in one place. I'll just become Bhajananandi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. In that mood, in the eternal abode of Sri Vrindavan Dham, he took shelter of Lord Shiva. Well, why Shiva? Vaishnavanam yathashambhu. Because Shiva is the greatest of devotees. And Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. Only by the mercy of a devotee can we come close to the Lord. And what better devotee than Lord Shiva? He's one of the five benevolent personalities who reveals the holy Dham and grants one entrance, not physically, but from the heart, from the spiritual place, grants one entrance into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. The great Vaishnavas, they pray to Lord Shiva every day. And he was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And one day Shiva appeared to him. Yes? I want to see Shamsundar. All right, you take this mantra. He gave some special mantra. He told him, you take this mantra and you shift to Pushpavan. Pushpavan means Pushpa's flowers. Van means forest. So Pushpavan means a forest of flowers. You go to Pushpavan, you chant this mantra. So Narada shifted to Pushpavan. He was chanting and chanting, Bhajananandi, Bhajananandi, Bhajananandi. One day, a group of very beautiful young girls were walking by that place. Although he was very deep in his meditation on the holy names, Narada Muni heard the tinkling of their ankle bells. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-ting-ting. I don't know. And his meditation was disturbed. He thought, my meditation on my bhajan has been broken by the simple tinkling of ankle bells. He's smart. So he concluded, the tinkling of the ankle bells must be more powerful than my bhajan. And he opened his eyes. When he opened his eyes, he saw these beautiful young girls, and he was particularly attracted to the beauty and the purity of their leader, the leader of these group of young girls. He was just fascinated. He was charmed by her transcendental characteristics, her personality, her bhav. Everything she was doing, her eyes were full of tears of love for the Supreme Lord. And she hadn't even spoken yet. So we think, I'm brahmachari. I can't look at these young girls. So he closed his eyes to return to his meditation, but he couldn't fix his mind anymore. This young group leader keep coming into his. So when he was looking around a little bit confused what to do next, the leader of the girls, she said, hey Baba, my Mata has sent me. She saw that you are not eating and you're hardly drinking. Do you need some prasad? No. I've been here a long time doing my bhajan. I have no other desire than to see Shamsundar. So the little girl said, oh, you want to see Sham? I can show you Sham. Follow me. Narada like, whoa, wait a minute. He's saying, I'm brahmachari. What will people think if they see me following a young girl through the forest? But he knew, he sensed this was no ordinary affair. This is something transcendental. So he presented his dilemma to the girl. And she said, hey Baba, this is my forest. My name is Vrindadevi. In my forest, no one will question you. Come, silly boy, I'll show you Sham. And still he hesitated, because other people may see. So she said, okay, she said, I'll walk in front at a great distance, and you can follow behind. So Narada said, okay, but what if I lose sight of you? She said, no problem. Ankle bells, ankle bells, ankle bells. You'll hear the sound of my ankle bells tingling, just like you heard them deep in meditation. So he followed her through the forest, through Vrindavan, and eventually came to two very beautiful lakes. And that young, beautiful Brajgopi said, you sit here next to me. So Narada thought, well, why not? I've already broken so many of my brahmachari vows. So. So at the moment he sat near, this Brindadevi pushed him into the kund. And he plunged into the water. And deep down, he had to come back up. And when he came out of the water, he was shocked to see that he had the body and the vesh, the dress of a gopi. And he looked at himself, he said, oh no! Who am I? And Vrindadevi, she very mercifully said, you're no longer Narada, you're Naradi. And Naradi, he said, oh my gosh, as a brahmachari I was trying to avoid women and now I'm one of them. What type of woman? Transcendental gopi. And Mahaprabhu has declared that of all the devotees of Krishna, of all the lovers of Krishna, because of their pure selfless devotion, not tinged with any material inebriety, the gopis of Vrindavan are the best. How did he attain that position? By the mercy of a Brajbasi. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So she, Naradi, is sitting, looking in a mirror at her very beautiful face, her lotus eyes, her long black curling hair, her beautiful sari and her delicate fingers and lotus feet and very beautiful feminine characteristics. And he's still a little bewildered, like, what happened here? And he sees on the lake this blue lotus surrounded by many white lotuses moving through the waves on the lake, through the waves of ecstasy towards him. And he's thinking, what is this? These flowers, this lotus and these white flowers are moving. Suddenly he realized it was the blue lotus of Krishna and the white lotus purity of the gopis. But he goes, here's my chance. She, Naradi, stood up and was ready to jump into the water to join the group. Suddenly one of the girls, she said, no, you can't come. So Naradi said, well, I've come so far. What do you mean I can't come? Because your desire was only to see the pastimes of Krishna. You weren't meditating on joining the pastimes of Krishna. So Naradi began crying. But then Shyam Sundari said, no, don't worry, this is all my lila. Now that you've seen the glory of Vrindavan, and you've understood and experienced and realized what is this Braj Bhakti, how it is infinitely superior to anything the material world has to offer, what to speak that the goal of other transcendentalists like siddhis, yogic siddhis and jnana, or God forbid, merging into my form. And of all the lovers of God in Vaikuntha, you've realized the superiority of Braj Bhakti and Goloka Vrindavan. Now you're qualified to write books on the science of devotional service. So go now and write about everything you've seen and experienced. So Naradi got up and she was walking away, and when she was just passing the original kund, which you may have guessed by now is Radha kund, Vrindadevi pushed her, Naradi, back into the water, and when she came up, she was again the great sage Narada. So Narada Muni retired in Vrindavan. He actually retired to a little grove of trees just near Kushan Sarovar at the foot of Govardhan Hill, and he wrote his Narada Bhakti Sutra. Srila Prabhupada translated that now. It's printed by the BBT. So there's many wonderful things to reflect on that pastime, but my point was only if one is a perfect sadhaka in his bhajan can he become a perfect preacher. And what does a perfect preacher mean? You're empowered to preach. It's not by your material qualifications, by the strength of your intellect and your study. It's by mercy. By blessings, one becomes, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's running behind his guru shouting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. One is empowered. And that is stated in Prabhupada's purport twice here, that one becomes empowered, just like in the Krishna book. Prabhupada states early on in the Krishna book that the Lord is always ready to bestow his full opulences upon a fully surrendered soul. Full opulences. He's Bhagavan. He'll give all his opulences. The expansions of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets, Ete Cham Sa Kolo Pum Sha Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swayam, those unlimited expansions, they're also plenary portions. They are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. It's a tongue twister. They're not the full bodied supreme. They are God, but only manifesting some of his attributes. But Prabhupada says that Krishna is ready to bestow his full opulences upon his devotee for the purpose of spreading the Krishna conscious movement. Full opulences. Therefore, we see that in the Bhagavatam, Narada is sometimes addressed as Bhagavan Narada. Now, if you, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and culture, if you address someone as Bhagavan other than Krishna, that's an offense. Only Krishna has that title, Bhagavan, the owner of all opulences. But in the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva says, Bhagavan Narada. Why Bhagavan Narada? Because he's empowered by Bhagavan himself to act as his representative. Therefore, sometimes we see that the devotee will do things equal or even sometimes superior to God by his mercy. Although the Lord is Asham Urdhva, no one's equal to or greater. And the case in point, when Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Bombay, because if we're referring to previous times, we use the name of the city as it was previously known. We don't say Mumbai. But in Bombay, Prabhupada was walking on the beach, and one devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya is God. And he spread the Sankirtan movement around India. Why didn't he spread it all over the world? And Prabhupada stopped, and he was reflecting, and he put his cane into the sand, and he had that noble look, and he raised his head and he said, because he wanted me to do it. The Lord, the devotee loves to glorify the Lord, and the Lord loves to glorify his devotees. So sometimes he surprises humanity by empowering them in such a way that no one can fathom. Just like Prabhupada told Gurudas in London one day. He said, one day historians will note how this Hare Krishna movement saved the world in its darkest hour. So, like it says in the Bible, the Lord so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he's such a powerful personality, his preaching's still going on. Generally a person dies and then whatever they do, their business, their politics, their art, it fades away into history. But transcendentalists, not so. When Jesus came before Pontius Pilate, he was the judge, he was the emperor, he was the ruler. Pontius Pilate had to consider what to do with this rebel who was preaching God consciousness and disturbing the Jews and disturbing the public. And I don't know what to do with you, he said. He said, I don't know if you're more dangerous, dead or alive. If I let you live, you'll go on preaching. I can see nothing will stop you. But if you die, you'll become martyr. This is where the word martyr comes from. And in your absence, and of love for you, your followers will continue your message. I don't know what to do. And like Prabhupada said, I will live forever. And he clarified that when he wrote the... he dedicated his translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita to his Guru Maharaj. He said, of his Guru Maharaj, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So, there are rare cases in history where devotees are fully empowered. And they in turn empower others. But the power is not some mystic blessing necessarily. It also comes from strictly adhering to the rules and the regulations, chanting and following the rules. But we need to become strong sadhakas. So we can need to be good bhajanandis so we become good goshanandis. Goshanandi means someone who is thinking how to share their good fortune with others. That's their constant meditation. They're always thinking, just like Prabhupada said, tax your brains how to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And that's exactly what Narada Muni did. After being a perfect sadhaka, he traveled through the universe, and he was initiating even great souls. He initiated Prahlad, he initiated Dhruva, and he initiated fallen souls as well, like Magrari and, at that time, Valmiki. He even initiated a snake. Animals in the association of devotees, who knows? Maybe there's something, some sense that comes there. At least if they direct their service to a Vaishnava, they get imperceptibly agyatsukriti, they get some benefit. Just like whenever I go to His Holiness Giridhar Swami's house for a little break, there's one cute little dog there owned by Kunti, Devi, Dasi. And whenever I come, without fail, the first day I arrive, I'm taking lunch at the table, and my legs and feet are under the table. 10 or 15 minutes, I feel a lick on my feet. The first time, I almost hit the roof. I looked under, it was, we call her Radhe Radhe. That's her name. She's always hearing the name, Radhe Radhe. We call her, we get the benefit, and she gets the benefit hearing. So whenever I come, she licks my feet. That's her way of just, she's not, she's a sentient being, she's a spirit soul. And you can say, well, she doesn't know you're a Swami. But there's some affection there, and it's directed towards the Vaishnavas, therefore there's some benefit like that. So, special cases, like a snake. He slithered up to Narada Muni one day and said, somehow, I want to be your disciple. He had to think twice. He said, all right, I've heard of you, I will initiate you. So at the time of initiation, he asked the snake, what are the four rules and regulations? So the snake said, Guru Maharaj, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit snake sex, no gambling, and chanting 16 rounds every day. So Narada Muni said, I'm giving you fifth regulative principle, just like I did an initiation with Giridhar Swami the other day in Dallas, and he asked his disciples to chant 25 rounds on a codicil. It's not a rule, but some spiritual masters, that there's different flavors, different personalities, so he, 25 rounds on a codicil. So Narada Muni, he said, all right, fifth regulative principle, no biting people. Oh, Guru Maharaj, that will be very difficult. What do snakes do? They're all mouth. They're all teeth. So the snake slithered off. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. that Yavat pastime where the snake is there. Dinabandha is very good. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Krishna. And as he was going into the town, some young children, ah, here's a snake. So you see in India, the children, they sometimes tease or they're afraid. They're throwing rocks at the snake. So generally, he would go and to bite them and they would all run away, but he wasn't. So they kept throwing and he came all bruised and broken back to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, you told me not to bite. Look at me. You told me not to do so many things. Look at me. Narada Muni said, yes, I asked you not to do so many things, but I didn't ask you to give up your intelligence. When the children come and start to throw rocks, open your mouth and show your teeth, and they'll go away scared. And that's what he did. So we see how merciful is such a bhajananandi, such a devotee. Again, the best devotee is the bhajananandi who preaches. And he makes no distinction. How can he make no distinction? Because he sees everyone's in a prison. This is Durga Dham. So whether you're first class, second class prisoner, hey, you're prisoner. You're fallen. In this material world, irregardless of who you are, Devata or Indragopa, the tiniest insect, germ, you're fallen. You have nothing to be proud about. You go to a jail and there's some guy's got a, you know, HD, they call it now, the screen. Yeah, I don't know the technology, but I was in the store the other day. I saw it and went, wow, I almost walked into it. I thought it was a beach. I had to dive in. Somebody has one of those, and they have this and that. You don't think, the poor guy, he's in jail. So everyone is surrounded by the four walls of material reality. Birth, disease, old age, and death. This material world is reserved for envious fallen souls, not for lovers of God. When a disciple said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have so much bhava, you have so much love. Just see how the tears are like a syringe coming from your eyes in the Ratha Yatra festival when you chant the holy name. Mahaprabhu humbly said, if I had any love for Krishna, I wouldn't be here. This is not the place where lovers of Krishna live. Maybe they're awakened to that love, but they're not, by dint of their devotional service, they're going upwards, 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 upwards. So a devotee sees everyone has fallen and he's always thinking of their welfare. Always. This is our meditation. This was Prabhupada's meditation. We know that Prabhupada, who can imagine it, and we're not allowed to speculate, how intimate a servant is Srila Prabhupada that the Lord entrusted him with the inauguration of the Krishna Conscious Movement all over the world. By that I mean Western countries and going back to India and reviving the lost Vedic culture that's disappearing very quickly. Speak of a chosen son, the verse in the Bible can also apply to Srila Prabhupada. Because whereas Lord Jesus Christ just accepted a few followers, Prabhupada is leading entire humanity. This is the golden age of Kali Yuga, the next 10,000 years. Who is Srila Prabhupada? Bhavananda Prabhu was telling me recently, I was in Sydney, and he told me one time Prabhupada was very ill and he became pale for several weeks. It was a serious illness. And then when he was over the illness and his color came back, you know when the flesh of the cheeks come back, and he was sitting with Bhavananda. Bhavananda said, so you're well now? Yes, Prabhupada. He said, I have got my color back, this reddish golden color. Bhavananda said, yes. And then Prabhupada said very softly, he said, this is my color in the spiritual world. When I heard that, I read the Nectar Devotion from cover to cover, trying to find who had the reddish golden color. So who is Srila Prabhupada? But our relationship with Prabhupada at this stage of our devotional service is the very menial, humble servant. And he may have his service, he does have his service in the spiritual world, as a very intimate member of the Brajavasi Gana family. But when he came here, what was his service? Preaching. That was his seva. It's no small thing. When God himself came 500 years ago, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the focus of all loving passion. What did he do? He preached. This is their activity in this world. That is their meditation. That should be our meditation. By serving them correctly here in their mood in this world, we qualify ourselves to associate and serve and live with them eternally in their mood in the spiritual world. We can't jump over. But to preach, that was Prabhupada's mood. Sometimes it may seem there's results, sometimes there's not results. That's not up to us. We're like Johnny Appleseed. He was always one of my heroes when I was a kid. I thought, yeah, I'd like to be like that. Just wander around the whole America and throw apple seeds everywhere. People say, is this guy's wasting his time? No. Now, after hundreds of years, there's so many beautiful apple orchards all over this country. So we are just meant to throw the seeds out in various ways. Every devotee has his ability empowered by Krishna. Mothers are raising children, someone's managing the temple, someone's doing kirtan, someone's traveling, sometimes, who knows? Prabhupada wanted the devotee to become president of the United States of America. Balavanta. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, well, this movement will be successful when the high court judges are wearing tilak. Everyone has their contribution. But this is our meditation. We shouldn't get caught up in our comfort zone. It's all right to have some comfort. Prabhupada said, human life is not meant to solve the problems of material existence under nasty conditions like cats and dogs. Live nicely. But use it as a base for preaching. Either inviting people to your base, your griha, or to your local temple, or just go out and preach. When the preaching stops, the movement will dry up. It's not that just a few select individuals are meant. Everyone in this room has a realization which is far superior even to the greatest philosopher, the most famous scientist. You know that you're not the body. You know that. When you go out and you preach that to somebody, this is an astounding revelation. This is a revolutionary concept to people that they're not the body. What? I'm not the body. You're not the body. What am I? And you begin the dialogue. We have, whoever we are, even if we're bhakta or whatever, after our first Bhagavad Gita class, you're qualified to go out and share that profound understanding with others, even if you don't realize it. By preaching it, by blessings, you get to realize it. So this should be our meditation. Just like the definition of love, or the definition of lust and love. Probably lust means for me, love means for Krishna. So how many times during the day are we thinking of me in its many capacities? And how often during the day are we thinking of the mission of Guru and Gauranga? Guru, our Param Guru, Śrīla Prabhupāda, and the message of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu and Lord Krishna. How often are we meditating on that? What is our meditation? Of course, we do have to think of the body and the home. But how often are we thinking like that? Me and Krishna. To think of the mission of the spiritual master, Biyuva Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanaprastha Nityasya. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. I told one little girl the other day, she said, but I can't do devotional service till I graduate from college. I said, no. Your education is your seva. It's equal to Bhrigupati going out and distributing books in the LA airport. I was watching the BBT DVD the other night, and I was just going over and over. I kept going over, watching his... There's five or six clips of Bhrigupati people distributing in the airport. I was just... I watched every episode five or six times. I just loved it. I was so jealous. That's what I used to do. I'd love to go back to doing that. But I said to that little girl, I had her watch the video of Bhrigupati, I said, that is pure devotional service. And then we looked at a picture in a magazine of a devotee doing arti. I said, that is pure devotional service. And devotees going on Parikrama, there was the Ganga Safari with Jai Pataka Maharaj. I said, that is pure devotional service. And then I said, there was a, she had her school picture and the school album, you know, for that year, and she was there doing, you know, walking down the hall. I said, that's pure devotional service. Getting your education, at that stage of your life, getting your education so that you can use that education in some way or another in devotional service, that's pure devotional. And you will use that one day. So we all have our abilities, and we should think of them. My schooling will one day be used in the service of the Lord. We, just like one time Guru Das said to Prabhupada. Guru Das said, Prabhupada, sometimes I feel so sad to see the people suffering in this material world. Prabhupada turned to him and said, why sometimes? So preachers have no preferences. They see everyone as a candidate for Krishna consciousness. And if you have that desire, the Lord will make arrangements for you. Man proposes and God disposes. If you want half Krishna consciousness and half material life, you'll get it. If you want all material life, you'll get it. If you want pure devotional service, you'll get it. Man proposes and God disposes. It's a question of desire. And if we don't have the desire, then we associate with advanced devotees like Jayapataka Maharaj and Giriyar Swami. And it's infectious. It's contagious. You catch that desire. And Lord will make arrangements. Just like the other day, I was at in Salt Lake City visiting again the temple of the Lotus Temple, they call it, with the beautiful deities of Radhasham Sundar. And the unprecedented preaching of Charu and Bhakti Vaibhava, it's not, they don't consider it a temple. For them, it's like a cultural place with performing arts. And people come to see, and then he gives them a strong lecture in Krishna consciousness. And they're all Mormons. And we, you know, we were invited. Mormons are, they like to do a lot of charity. They get, what do you call that, kudas? Credits? Yeah, they get a lot of credit in the eyes of God when you help suffering, give food and medicine. And we have a little different angle, but nevertheless. So they had a charity banquet where they wanted to help people understand and become aware of and contribute to world hunger. So 1,200 students came. And 10% sat in the perimeter. And they represented the 10% of the population who has no food problems, who eat a big banquet every day. So those students had a huge plate of food. And 20% were before them. They represented the 20% of the world who has a normal type food, you know. And they had like kind of a much less but something, you know, there. And 70% of the students sat on the floor. And they had rice and hard beans. And 5% of them didn't have anything. And the speakers were coming up and saying, this is what the world's like. Just see, to look around you and see how it is. And rah, 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 I want to give this, I want to give that. And, you know, then it was time for a break. So we had been asked to come and perform because the Mormons like Hare Krishna. If you ever met them, they follow three principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Even meat, they're encouraged to eat sparingly. So there's some piety there. So they like us. They've donated thousands of dollars for the construction of that temple in Spanish Fort. So they asked Charu to come. So I had expressed a desire to come and see the service of Charu. So he said, come at this time. So I came and he wanted me to lead the kirtan. So I came, and then 1,200 students there, and I had an old rickety harmonium. You know, and there was one pair of kartals. And Mother Vaibhavi just started taking mridanga lessons. She was a mridanga player. Yeah, it's true. So we came, and we sat down, a little bit elevated there, and Charu gave a little introduction, invited all the students to his holy festival, Festival of Colors, on March 24th, I think, or 27th. 25,000 people come every year, throw the colors and chant Hare Krishna. And, you know, he looked at me and said, start chanting. And I went, oh, gosh. Mother Vaibhavi, te io tanaka te. She looked at me and said, did da de. And the kartals, you know, American is gone. And she's playing real slow. I'm like, and So I just prayed to Prabhupada, prayed to Lord Chaitanya, and prayed to the holy names, Sri Nam Prabhu, in person, please bestow your mercy upon these pious Mormons. And I just, from my heart, whatever little something's there, I didn't chant, there was no time, so I just started chanting Hare Krishna. They gave us 15 minutes. And I was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I opened my eyes, and all the students, like, it was like a wave, an ocean, a wave on the ocean, just wave after wave. I go, oh my God. And Chu goes, I went to Vaibhavi, titta, titta, de. And she starts playing, and Krishna empowered her. And then I went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And Chiru, he just bolted up into the air and started dancing. And I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. There's a video of it. At that very moment, 1,200, there wasn't a person, it was all by invitation. Not a person was left sitting. They all jumped up and started dancing wildly. I was going, oh, Hariva. I was thinking, this is history. This is an historic movement. And I got all teary-eyed and emotional. And it wasn't ecstasy. It was just some appreciation. I think, my God, I'm witnessing history. And I was thinking back in 1969 when Prabhupada chanted at Columbus, Ohio. There was a university, Columbus University in Ohio. And I heard that 2,000 students danced on the seats of the chairs. I'm thinking, it's happening again. It's happening again. Hari Bol! And I went on and on and on and on. And finally, the organizers had to stop it because it was pandemonium. All the chairs were knocked over. They were doing the helicopter. We didn't even tell them. There was only six of us. They're going around. The girls are, yahoo! And screaming from the top of their, lungs, Hare Krishna! I said, God, I wish I could chant like that. Went on for about 26 minutes. And then the organizers, he stopped and everyone sat down. There was this moment of silence. Everyone was sitting thinking, oh my God, what happened? Nobody could move. The organizers wouldn't speak. I wouldn't speak. It was just like, everyone was looking around. What happened? And then the former mayor of Ascension, Paraguay, was the keynote speaker. So he came up to speak. He had this audience, you could hear a pin drop. And he had a kind of prepared speech, and he was a good speaker. He was speaking about world hunger like this, and he said, went on and on, and we were just still sitting there, and people were like, I just can't believe. And he was giving a good talk about world hunger, and he says, but if we want to solve the problem of world hunger, he said, we can't do it being miserable. We have to be happy, because only when you're happy can you really accomplish something, not if you're miserable and you doubt. He said, let us be in the mood, just like these Hare Krishnas, who are always happy, chanting Hare Krishna. He said, let's be like them and conquer world hunger. And it's like, it's on national television. And he's glorifying, and Chiru is going, he's like drinking it. Yeah, more, more, more. I said, Chiru, what are you going to do now? There's only four of you running that temple. You're going to be overrun by people. He said, no problem, Mars. Krishna will send somebody. He has so much faith. So then the next day I flew out to Dallas, and my points put me up to business class. So I was sitting next to some man there, and I had my iPod and it ran out of batteries. So I'm looking for something to read, and I didn't have a book. So the person sitting next to me had a book in that little pocket on the back of that seat, in front of the seat there. So I look at the book, and it looks like something religious. It looked like a Bible. So I said, what the heck? You know, I often quote the Bible. So I said, excuse me, sir, is that a Bible? Could I read your Bible? He got this big smile. He said, it is not Bible, it is Book of Mormon. I said, you know, when I was a kid, I lived in a Mormon neighborhood. my parents moved into a neighborhood, and that, you know, it was a new housing project. And I used to go to the temple, to the church, all the time. He said, "You did?" I said, "I know all about, you know, Mormon and Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and the golden templates and the..." He said, "You do?" I said, "I want to read that book some more." He said, gave it to me. And I'm reading and reading. He said, "If you have any questions, just ask me." So I said, okay. So I made up some questions. We're going to the book. And I noticed this is an old Book of Mormon, and it's all cross-referenced and highlighted. And I said, "Geez," I said, "I wish I could have a book like this." He said, "It's yours." I said, "It's mine?" I said, "How can you give a book?" He said, "No, it's yours. You can have it. It's a gift from me." I said, "Gosh," I said, "thanks a lot." I said, "And who are you?" He said, "I'm the dean of Brigham Young University." I said, "Wow, really?" He said, "And how about you could send me a Bhagavad Gita?" I said, "How do you know about Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Everyone knows Hare Krishna in Spanish Fork. Festival of the colors." Then he said, "That was a great performance you had last night." I think this is a great place to preach. When Chiru first came to Utah, he was thinking, you know, this is Mormon country. How am I going to preach here? He had a radio station. Mormon country. No one's in, like I told you. No Indians. Krishna made the arrangement. He's a very sincere Vaishnava, and so is his wife. And they're the perfect Grihastha couple. And just see what they did and the influence that they've had. So now I'm in touch. I email. The dean is asking me questions about Krishna consciousness, and I'm asking him questions about the Mormon faith, and we plan to meet. He's going to take me on tour of the university next year. I'll be a special guest speaker there, and he's going to come to the Temple of the Lotus for a vegetarian dinner. So like this, if devotees make this their mission, Krishna will reciprocate. If you truly want to help the people, if you feel sympathy, if you love them as your spiritual brothers and sisters, Lord will make unlimited opportunities. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I notice everyone loves you." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's because I love everyone." Srila Prabhupada ki. In the early years, when Prabhupada was with the devotees in India, he was continuing his publication on the Back to Godhead magazine, kind of trying to reinitiate it. And they came up with the idea of a mail order system. So he employed one man to receive his mail. And it became evident at some point that man was stealing money from the envelopes. So one of the Western devotees, the few who was with Prabhupada, said, "Oh, what do we do? This man is stealing money from the envelopes. What do we do? Should we arrest him?" And Prabhupada said, "No, just forgive him." So this is love. To find a great soul who will forgive our past misdeeds and our sin, to take us on board the boat of transcendental knowledge going back to the spiritual world, and give us the privilege to assist him and his divine mission of delivering the fallen condition. I can't think of a greater gift than just to be given the opportunity to help Prabhupada. And don't think it goes on unnoticed. It's all witnessed by divine authority. Every act you perform, it's all there. In fact, Nitai is so merciful that Angora is so merciful. They don't accept any of your offenses. They only accept your service. So this is a golden opportunity to be assisting Prabhupada in this way. We should take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, who will bless us to represent him in this world, and in the process, just take back as many conditioned souls to the spiritual world as we can. We shouldn't think of my own liberation. Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj here. We shouldn't just be concerned if we're going back home, back to God. We should show up at the pearly gate. Who's there at the pearly gate? St. Peter? We should show up at the pearly gate with this long line of people behind us. St. Peter will say, Who is this? These are all Prabhupada followers. All right, come on in. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Sri Panchatattva Ki Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Sri Narada Muni Ki Festival of the Holy Name, Laguna Beach, 2010 Ki. His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj Ki. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki. Tukaram Prabhu Ki.